Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Got a little bit of a change to the show with the news that just broke. So what we have planned, college football playoff rankings. I'm sure everybody out there is pretty enthused about what happened last night with the first rankings. Simmer down. Simmer down. All I can tell you. We'll cuss and discuss and go through where everybody's ranked and all that coming up here in just a little bit. We'll wrap up the World Series. The Atlanta Braves shut out the Houston Astros 7-0 last night. Take home the title for the first time since 1995. You know,
that was karma right there.
Your reaction is one that at some point needs to quit. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. At some point, enough is enough. I mean,
as long as certain people are on that team.
Yeah, and that's
the only person I feel bad for.
Dusty Baker.
Dusty Baker.
Well, guess what? He jumped into it. But at some point, that'll all fade away, and maybe this will be it. But the Braves were just better. The pitching, the acquisitions that they made, those guys came in clutch, especially those outfielders. The home run was used in a way that I don't know, it's more effectively by the Braves than maybe any team ever to win the World Series, with the percentage of runs that were scored via the home run throughout the series. Last night was a perfect microcosm of that. And the difference in the long ball between the two teams was so stark throughout the six-game series. One thing that saddens me, and I hope it changes, and we could talk about how or if or how, why or whatever, but of the 105 innings played in the six games, or half innings played in the six games, only 39% of those were that 39% of the outs were recorded by starting pitching. I think that's a huge problem for the speed of the game. You know, I was jumping for joy last night on a 3.5 hour game. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it felt like it was smoking fast, and early on, it really kind of was. It was, you know, four innings in an hour. That's a pretty good clip nowadays. But it kind of grinded to a halt. But anyway, we'll wrap up the World Series. And then also, right here off the top of the show, just breaking news, the NCAA has denied Oklahoma State's appeal, Oklahoma State men's basketball's appeal, from the Brad Underwood situation back in 2016. What was it? Lamont Evans was the assistant that kind of got everybody in trouble here. So that postseason ban is in effect for 2022, this year. Oklahoma State men's basketball unable to compete in postseason play. We could talk about that right here off the top, because I'm just kind of trying to process it as we go. That
Get seems some raw reaction from
God,
us.
God, that seems so unfair. Just right here, the first thing I think is, man, that's unfair to have that now. I understand what the appeal is and how that goes, and you know, Cade Cunningham got to play in the tournament because the appeal was happening. But, man, does that not seem unfair to the guys now that have already started the semester and now their season is done from a postseason standpoint? You know what I mean? Like, how is that? Those guys are stuck.
Define postseason. Is just NCAA tournament action?
Allowing the school to participate in the tournament.
I mean, I wonder about Big 12 tournament. Or NIT. Well, NIT is not controlled by the NCAA, and they're not an NIT team. But my point is,
what does that mean?
What does that
obviously
mean?
The tournament, the NCAA tournament.
That's first tier. Yes, that's obvious.
Big 12 tournament.
That is a postseason. I don't know.
I'm trying to remember last year before when everything came down and then the appeal happened. I want to think, just totally off memory, that includes the Big 12 tournament. Isn't that?
That's a shame, because they are definitely on the upper echelon part of this league.
Well, maybe. We'll have to check on we'll have to kind of see as this goes. But just totally off memory, because, you know, Cunningham was signed. Then the stuff happened before he got here, really, you know, late spring, early summer. And then it was, okay, he'll never come. And then he said, no, no, I'm coming. And then the appeal happened. But at, during that time where before he announced, hey, yeah, I'm sticking with this, I want to think that part of that, all of that, the bans was both the Big 12 and the NCAA tournament. We might be able to get some 100% clarification. But I think that that's – I think that that's right, just from memory. But I'm sure that'll be clarified here as it goes along. That looks like there's going to be a press conference. Chad Weiberg, one of the participants, are you know up there at Oklahoma State, coming up at 11. I think I just saw scrolling through Twitter. It's happening so fast. I'm trying to find all the pertinent information as we go. But Mike Boynton and Chad Weiberg to discuss the 2022 postseason ban at 11 o'clock. So I'm sure that that'll provide us some answers. But we'll keep on. We'll talk about that right here out at the top. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be in your mind, feel free to chime in. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, you can always listen to us a couple of different ways. KADSAM.com. You can live stream us that way, or you can download the Paragon app. Paragon Communications app has all radio stations here in Elk City with us. We got KECO Cool 94. We got the Penny News in the app, brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight, so it's on there right now, thepennynews.com. Go through the app to find out the free, all the new deals. Pick up a free copy of this week's Penny News as Blake will go get it this afternoon. It'll be starting to filter out today into tomorrow. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. Paragon TV High School Hoops kicked off last night with Arapaho Butler, sweep of Granite, and then you also had Cheyenne Raiden and Sweetwater. So, bunch of games coming up Friday basketball-wise. Also, the Elks finished the regular season at home against Newcastle Friday night. Merritt in a win and you're in, lose and you're done scenario for the final spot in the Class A District 1 playoffs with Burns Flat Deal City coming over here to Merritt. So, that's a huge game that we can talk about here. Some point the rest of the week. What else? Oh, podcast. Missed show entirely. You can find us. iTunes, KADSAM.com. All right, so just kind of your first reaction to this news that Oklahoma State is now banned from, for sure the NCAA tournament will figure out what postseason ban means this season.
My first reaction is, well, it's a shame, for one. Because this is, you're punishing kids that were not even on campus when all of this stuff happened. Punish the coaches. Punish those who actually committed the crime. Don't punish the university or these, in particular, these kids that are already there. But then part of me is like, well, still waiting on the Kansas ruling.
That's the first.
So you think, okay, this has come down, so the Kansas ruling should be next, right? And it should be just as bad as it is for OSU, because what they did, allegedly, is just as heinous as what OSU did.
Worse.
Worse, yes. So part of me gives pause, like, okay, they're releasing stuff. They're saying they're giving out rulings. They're denying appeals. It's time for the axe to come down on the University of Kansas Jayhawks basketball program. When is that going to happen, NCAA? That's why I kind of give pause of having an immediate crazy reaction. But as far as OSU is concerned, it's not fair to those kids that are on campus right now. It's not fair to the fan base who are looking forward to a really good season. They had a great one last year, and it looked like the OSU program is starting to get back to that level of where they're used to being, and Gallagher Iba is starting to get full again. And now you're throwing a wrench in that system there, NCAA, because now some fans are going to go, I mean, the ones that are just kind of, you know, fair-weather fans are going to go, why should I go spend money on a ticket if they're not even going to make it to the postseason? I'll just watch it on TV. It's a shame. That's my first initial reaction. Just, it's a shame.
Yeah, I think it's super unfair for – The semester to have started, I mean, I think, did they start the season last night? feel
the exhibition. I think I know OU did. I'm sure OSU was in that boat too. Can look it up.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of going to the scoreboard here.
They're playing nobody state and winning by 50.
Well, it does.
Sure,
it doesn't matter who the heck they're playing or whatever. The point is, the season has started, and now they're speaking of unfair to those kids. They can do nothing.
Yeah, they can't leave.
They can't, because it now, since the semester has started and the season has started, they're done.
They start versus UCO on Friday.
On Friday. I knew it was this week. And so what you're talking about, guys, that if this is the penalty, it can't be this year.
Right.
Now, I understand that there was an appeal and it was supposed to be last year, and so that's probably the way this comes down is – okay, we gave you a punishment, you appealed it, we deny the appeal, so it's effective immediately. And that's the way that works. But what the hell were they doing all summer long?
Yeah, yeah.
This thing has been appealed for a year and a half.
Yeah, what are they doing?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
How does this not come down as soon as their season's over last year?
How full is the inbox here, you know?
And don't give me COVID. That's bull crap. Don't give me that as your excuse.
I wasn't.
No, I'm talking to the NCAA.
I wasn't going
to. Don't give it to me.
Haven't used that excuse in a while.
It's incredibly unfair to those kids. Listen, I understand what you're saying about those guys weren't on campus when it happened, but there's really nothing else you can do. That's just the unfortunate part of what the enforcement is for the NCAA. It's going to always punish some innocent people because they weren't there. Right. But what else? You can't – Oklahoma State can't just get off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
They can't just get off because it happened under their watch. And that's all.
Oh, I get that part. But don't punish the kids.
But it's always going to happen that way.
Yeah.
Because they're so damn slow that they can't get it done when the people that did it are still on campus.
Right.
It's always going to be that way. And that's always going to be a crappy part.
I mean, shoot, the athletic director wasn't there. The president of the university wasn't even there.
But that's what happens when it takes 6 years to figure this crap out.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of the slowness of the NCAA. And so now you've got kids. I mean, who wouldn't want Avery Anderson?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And not everybody has a brother that gets to coach you because you're going to a school, Cade Cunningham. So that makes it easier. Even, you know, he was staying no matter what the appeal process was. And a big part of that was because he was going to get to play for his brother. But also, his brother was going to get that job. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he had more of an incentive there than a lot of these other guys will. These other guys just wanting to play, get to the league, and be in the tournament. And now it's to the point where that's not going to be able to happen for OSU. Now, the Kansas stuff is hilarious. I mean, where is that? You know, North Carolina gets off almost scot-free from one of the most massive academic fraud scandals of all time.
Right.
And it's just the truth of it is, it looks like, and in basketball, it's even worse than anything else. Because in football, you've seen USC get clobbered. You've seen OU get clobbered.
Yes.
Alabama get clobbered. But in basketball, it feels like, hey, oh, blue blood, you're pulling in the money because of the NCAA tournament. We can't have North Carolina not there.
Right.
We can't have Kansas not there. Oh, sorry about your luck, Oklahoma State. We don't have to have you as much as we have to have those others, so sit down and shut up. And I can't wait to see what the reaction from Oklahoma State is at 11. And I honestly, no one's going to, actually, probably everybody will want to hear this and agree. But Oklahoma State, by the letter of the law, did everything they were supposed to do in helping the investigation along.
Right, very transparent. And
right now, yeah. From now on, if I'm anybody outside of a you know, 10 schools in the country, NCAA knocks on your door, I give them the double bird and lock it.
Yep.
Nope.
Yeah, go get your lawyer and subpoena, but we're not going to give you anything.
Nope.
Yeah.
We're not helping you.
Yeah.
Because all you're going to do is stick a knife in our back that ought to go to Kansas's.
Yeah, you're going
to
screw us anyways, so why should we help you do that?
100%.
Yeah.
It's just it's a ridiculous thing that's happening. And the longer we go, I mean, for God's sake, LSU's coach is on a wiretap trying to pay somebody. And he was still coaching.
Still coaching. Yeah.
Bill Self is on there too. Still coaching. Still playing. Still making tournaments. Yep. Still nothing happening. And here's OSU, who literally helped themselves to this postseason ban. And so from now on, anybody that the NCAA is snooping around on this stuff, no.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely not. We're not helping you. We're stonewalling you every single time we get the chance because it is not worth it to us. All we're going to do is get in trouble for other people. I can't wait to see what the tenor of that is at 11. Is it sounding like us? Is it going to be a lot more couth?
Well, I mean, is it going to be more, we're disappointed, but we accept it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know, we can't do anything else. We've done everything possible to help them, and we still get this. We're disappointed in this, da-da-da.
Or this is BS, and
they're going to say that without saying that, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm sure. It'll be handled with class.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be handled classier than what anybody wants it to be, more than likely. I hope not. I hope they come out with guns blazing. Wouldn't it be funny if they had, like, the goods? You know what? We were going to hold this in. But now that you're screwing us and letting Kansas go free, here's the tape. And, like, hit play. Ah. Lamont gave me this. on his way out, Lamont handed me this tape. I've been holding it for a while. But since you're not going to do anything to Kansas, here's the proof. Boom.
Yeah.
Now, that would be awesome.
An old tape player.
Yes.
Hold on. I got to rewind it. Hold on.
That might jump the I'm a Man, I'm 40 press conference in the greatest ones in Oklahoma State athletics history.
Yes.
If all of a sudden you have like the Zapruder tape of the college basketball cheating scandal played.
Wow.
Because out of spite for what's happening. I would assume that won't be the case, but. Man, it would sure be awesome if
it
did.
Yes, it would.
All right. Other things that happened yesterday.
What else happened yesterday?
We'll get to the World Series. We'll get to the college football stuff. But, man, that Henry Ruggs story was sure an awful one that broke.
Oh, my goodness.
The L.A. Raiders wide receiver is going to face two felony charges in a DUI crash that killed somebody. On the Las Vegas Strip, 3:39 in the morning, yesterday morning, he basically just rear-ended a vehicle and killed killed somebody in the other vehicle, and it's believed that he was inebriated, and he's in a bad way. Like that dude is going. There's no worried about how long is his suspension. From the Raiders or from the league, that dude is going to prison for a while.
And rightfully so.
Looks like it carries a possible sentence of 2 to 20 years in state prison. And then the reckless driving is 1 to 6. So at most 26, at least 3 with probation available. I would imagine that he's going to spend some time in prison. And like you said, rightfully so. And here's the truth of it. A majority of us listening have all been there and been fortunate as hell for this not to happen. Throughout, starting in high school to college to later on in life. It doesn't excuse what he did by any stretch of the imagination, but it's one of those things I think when you see certain things happen to athletes, it doesn't really hit home. Does that make sense? Because your experiences aren't the same as theirs.
Yeah.
They have access to different things and all that. But one like this, it's like, wait a minute, gosh, most of all of us have done something stupid like this before at some point in life. And it's just kind of a sobering reminder of what's possible.
Well, and what was he, 22?
Yeah, 22. Yeah, that's right. The probation is only available for the reckless driving, not for the DUI that caused death.
My point is, you're at that age, you feel invincible, especially if you're a high profile player in a major city for a major football team, and feel like you're on top of the world and nothing can take you down. That, you know, that's, but that was a horrible decision he made. His life is over, for lack of a better term.
Well, this part, I mean, this part of it is.
This part is over, and but you can't go away. You can't say everything and then not feel for the family with the victim. I mean, that's just a horrible, horrible situation. And you hope that, for me personally, you know, you talk about jail time. People who commit this kind of crime, they deserve to go to jail.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to be mean. It's just the justice system we live in. And you hope that, or I hope, I say I'm going to put it on me. I hope that he doesn't get off just because of who he is and how much money he can spend on a lawyer. You know, I hope that he goes to jail.
Yeah, that's not a possibility because of this crime. That he's going to jail, period.
Good.
He's going to prison.
Good.
Now, how long it'll be, maybe it's not as long for him as it would be for others, but the fact of the matter is he's going to prison for this.
And he will not play in this league. It's hard for me to see him play in this league ever again.
Well, I'm not going to say that.
I will.
I'm not going to say that. There's a guy, there's stories of this all over the league. There's literally video of a guy beating up a woman, and he gets to trot out there for the Browns when he's healthy every single week.
We're talking about death, though.
Ray Lewis played. Yeah, he'll play. Dante Stallworth, remember him?
Vaguely.
2008, he signed a 7-year, $35 million deal with Cleveland. He was a receiver. And then he missed the entire 2009 season after being convicted of manslaughter, DUI manslaughter. So he hit somebody with his car that was a pedestrian and killed him.
Right.
He was reinstated, and he played 2010, 2011, 2012. So, yeah. It's just the truth in the NFL. Talent will always win. You almost can't do – I mean, I guess maybe if there was video of you committing a murder.
Like intentionally, yeah.
You know?
Right.
Like that might disqualify you from being able to return. This isn't going to be. And he's 22. Now, he may have to spend more time in prison than what Stallworth did. But, you know, if he's there 4 or 5 years, he gets out, he's still 27.
Yeah.
So, I'm not telling you. I'm not sitting here telling you. I don't agree with what should happen. I'm right there with you. But what's going to happen is a different story, unfortunately, in the NFL for these guys that continually. I mean, not continually, but they screw up and they always get another chance.
Just remember, this is a different world we live in as opposed to back then.
Yeah,
you know, we live in this cancel culture world where the masses will come out and want them canceled. But
and the NFL this is doesn't
now,
care.
Well, that's true too.
The NFL doesn't
care.
They
don't care.
No, they're bigger than the masses.
This is true too.
World Series last night ended in Game 6 with the Braves, a 7-0 shutout win over the Houston Astros. You know, it felt like the Astros constantly had guys on base throughout the series and constantly could not get the big hit in the games that they lost. First inning last night, first and second, nobody out. You know, Max Fried has some scar tissue from a closeout game against the Dodgers where he got shelled. Game 2 of this series, you know, got off to a bad start and gave up a bunch of runs early. And they couldn't take advantage. You know, he strikes out Correa for the first out, gets a ground ball the second, and then strikes out Gurriel to end the inning, and that was it against him. Like, it felt like from then on, man, he just found a different level and a different gear. And Max Fried was pretty dominant in the next 5 innings of the 6 that he threw. The Braves did what the Braves have done this entire series. They hit home runs. You know, you got the 3-run just absolute rocket from Soler, who ends up being the MVP with 3 home runs. Every one of them gave the Braves the lead. Then, you know, Swanson follows with the 2-run shot, you know, and the Braves end up scoring 7 runs, 6 of which were courtesy of home runs. They end up 18 of the 25 runs they scored during the series were scored off of home runs. The Astros, 2 of 20. They had 2 solo home runs from Jose Altuve, and that was it. Everything else was manufactured for the Astros. Whereas the Braves were just playing long ball, and every now and then, you know, even Freddie Freeman last night, the one run Atlanta didn't score courtesy of your home run, it was a double off the wall. You know, I mean, it was just about, another one. But I think when you look back at this series, you're going to see that, you know, the fireworks from the bats. But to me, it was the pitching of the Braves. You know, you shut out the Houston Astros in two different times in Game 3 and then last night. And that's holding down one of the better lineups in recent memory in Major League Baseball throughout a series. You know, they kind of got off on in Game 5 to score 9. But other than that, you know, it was none. You know, 9 in Game 5 and then 7 in Game 2. That's pretty good to go 6 games against that team and only give up 20 runs.
Yeah, that's real good. And the you know, chicks dig the long ball, so that's going to get all the headlines. But I think the pitching was very concrete for this run from the Braves. I agree with you.
Pretty incredible run from Atlanta. They mentioned it last night. They're the first team to win the World Series with a losing record at the All-Star break. Hmm. You know, they had a bunch of injuries right around that time. Obviously, Acuna goes out with the torn ACL. Ozuna gets in trouble for a domestic assault incident and he's done. So kind of two of your young stars are gone.
Even the front office tried to cancel this team.
Well, Rob Manfred damn sure tried to.
Tried to dampen the spirits of the city of Atlanta, yes.
Rob Manfred definitely tried to, and the only thing that wasn't fitting in this series was that he had to hand that trophy to the Braves in Houston instead of Atlanta, because that would have been poetic justice after ripping the All-Star game away from him to have to give him the World Series trophy back in Atlanta, where he just devastated the economy for a week.
Hands the trophy over, I would have asked him, can you hand us back our All-Star game too? Any chance you're going to help us out there, yeah, Rob?
I'd say back in July, it was like $100 million worth of revenue for the weekend for that All-Star game was missed out upon. They went to Denver. But the Braves, it was crazy because they were left for dead. And even going into the playoffs, first round against the Brewers. Oh no, Brewers got the starters. They've got that 1-2 punch in the starting rotation. The Braves have basically no chance. And then you have to beat the Dodgers and overcome that mental hurdle of losing the 3-1 lead to the Dodgers last year in the NLCS, and then you run up against over the past decade. For sure, half decade, it's been Dodgers, it's been Astros. Those have been the two best teams in baseball during that period. Now, they haven't won every World Series, but they've been consistently the best two. Mm-hmm. And to have to topple both of those and root for your first championship since 1995, it's a heck of a run and a kind of a storybook ending for a team. You know, Freddie Freeman, it was that his last game as a Brave. You know, he's been one of those guys that got there at kind of the tail end of the Chipper Jones time. You know, Chipper was the one bridge between, you know, the greatness of before and trying to reignite it with Freddie Freeman. And so he's there, and, you know, he plays a huge role in the Braves winning this World Series. And not only at you know, the production he had on the offensive end, but how many times did it feel like he saved runs there at first base, just digging out balls in the dirt. One of the best, you know, defensive first baseman there is, just helping those guys out along. It was just a heck of a performance by a team to go through those three teams that they did on the way to lifting that trophy.
All right, now that that's all said and done, next year.
Yeah, how long is it going to be?
You know, can they get back? Is it the perennial guys are going to be at top? Dodgers, Houston. I'm sure Atlanta will be in the upper echelon of favorites. I mean, right, nothing changes there. You think that's the top three? I mean, you could throw in, oh, I don't know. I mean, when are the Yankees going to get back to the top?
When? Here's the question.
I mean, top like what we're talking about today.
I'm not even talking about teams. I couldn't care less about who's going to be good. Here's my question. When is the next game going to be played in Major League Baseball?
That is a concern. We were concerned about this shoot, over
during
a year
COVID.
Ago. Yeah. Because we kind of knew that, you know, if they don't handle this COVID situation right, then the players could be upset come off season after the 21 season. So, yeah, that's a good point. Are we calling it a lockout?
Yeah, I think it's a lockout this time and not a strike. I think it's the owners that are trying to get their way, which is kind of always the case. Just a quick look ahead to your question, though, before. A quick look ahead at some power rankings for 2022.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Rays, White Sox, Astros, Brewers, Blue Jays, Dodgers, Braves. So the defending champs down at 7. Questions about Freddie Freeman being back. Ozuna, obviously. But baseball always finds a way to screw this kind of stuff up. Since 1994, they've consistently found a way to screw up and not be able to gain any sort of momentum, to gain any sort of foothold back like they had at one time. So I fully expect the season not to start on time, be a giant mess, and basically just drive people further away.
Agreed.
That's just what they do. That's what baseball does.
I mean, you got him back with the fantastic Field of Dreams game. I mean, it felt like that momentum was shifting back towards the love for America's pastime. And we had stadiums full again and all this. So you'd hope that they use all this momentum after this season. You know, they thank goodness for the Field of Dreams game, because they were really hurting in a bad way after how they handled the All-Star game situation.
Yeah, and just
see, I mean, it made people forget about that Field of Dreams game, and then they moved on towards the postseason or towards a run towards the postseason, then the postseason. Then we got a team that's won it for the first time since 26 years, 95. Yeah, and then so you'd hope that they can handle this with grace in this offseason and start on time. But I'm with you that they have a poor history of doing that.
Yeah, and think back to COVID, and after things kind of died down from the initial reaction to what happened just right here in Oklahoma City, you know, where sports stopped. Mm-hmm. As it became apparent over the next month or two that, okay, this isn't the end-all, be-all disease. We're going to get back. Sports are going to happen. From that moment, baseball had the opportunity to seize the moment. And what were they doing? Fighting over billions of dollars.
Right.
As people can't work, as people can't send their kids to school. And it was just such a tired narrative from baseball for people. They got past that. You mentioned, the Field of Dreams game was something that kind of pulled and tugged at people's heartstrings, and it worked great. I think having this World Series turn out the way it has for folks our age, or even a little bit younger, that remember getting to watch the Atlanta Braves. I mean, there's countless people became Braves fans because they were on TBS.
Right.
And shown nationwide. It's like the Notre Dame effect in college football. Few teams, Cubs, White Sox, and Braves. You could see every single game, no matter where you were at. That helps for people to kind of like that team and watch them win. But you've created that momentum just to screw it up in the offseason. We all know it's going to happen, right? I mean, at this point, wouldn't you? You would definitely have it above 50% that the season starts late, right? Like a better chance it does than doesn't.
Yeah.
Which is so sad, because this is with some of the stuff that's happening, especially in basketball, something we haven't even talked about. Do you realize that the NBA has essentially seeded Thursday night to the NFL? You know, Thursday night, NBA, TNT, that's the night, right?
Right, right.
They
now
had
that, is that just until NFL's over?
Yes. They have seeded it. They had the first night, opening week or whatever.
Right.
And after that, guess what? There's not any Thursday night games. The NFL has pushed them off the block, said, nope.
Go watch a movie or something on TNT. It's a replay of NYPD, Chicago, IS, whatever it is, wherever the shows are.
Or something Chinese.
No. No, thank you.
In NBA. But I just you can see it coming. And as soon as it happens, all the baseball writers get all hurt about what's going on, and they'll just trash them to the public. And by the time the season starts again next year, nobody's going to care. And everybody's going to be mad at baseball, the players and the owners, for quarreling over billions of dollars. And we're going to be right back where we were, or even worse shape, before the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
And it's too bad, because you know what was really cool last night? Just the romanticism of watching baseball, watching the World Series. And you know, I was able, and it's one of those things that you get to do it every year, you know. And actually, my mom texted me at like 9:30, y'all send him to bed. Like, nope. And he's watching the game, sitting right here. You know, Wyatt's, we're letting him stay up. Awesome. Heck, Kara went to bed before Wyatt did. And yeah, we're trying to watch. And I've got a picture that I'm not going to share it on Facebook. But, you know, he was about the top of the eighth, middle of the eighth. All of a sudden, the talking stopped. And I looked over there. And he was sound asleep. I'm like, oh, boy, didn't make it. But he battled. He battled and tried. And it's just, that's something that, you know, our age, we got to do. And you're trying to pass that along. And it's only baseball is like that to me, where you kind of get that feeling of watching a game with your son, you know, watching the World Series.
Yeah.
And finishing off that baseball season that, you know, won't start until, you know, next April. It's just, you don't get, to me, it's not as romantic to watch the World or the Super Bowl or the Finals or the, you know, whatever else. It can only be created like that with the World Series.
Yeah.
And they got to figure out a way not to blow it in the off season.
Well, get ready, because the next month there's going to be a lot of traction. December 1st, collective bargaining agreement expires.
Exactly right. So we'll see. You still have a couple of days before it's time to make your picks. This week's Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em games. Man, it does seem like the games get just a little tougher to pick each week, as Vegas learns a little bit more about each team. It gets just a little tougher. Now, wait a minute. This is completely off the topic. Oh, never mind. I was just looking at, I clicked on the wrong deal, and I was looking at my fantasy team, and I was trying to figure out why my trade hadn't been executed, but it has. I forgot I changed the quarterback in the trade. But anyhow. Did I tell you what that was?
No.
So
can you say on air?
Sure.
Okay.
So I had Derrick Henry. We all know what happened to Derrick Henry. Poor Derrick Henry broke his foot. And he had been an absolute monster for my team all year long. And so at that point, I'm thinking, okay, Hail Mary time.
Yeah.
I've got three pretty good fantasy quarterbacks at the moment, because I had an extra one for bye week purposes. And so I'm looking around, okay, who has somebody they might trade? And I find Christian McCaffrey, who is on IR, hasn't played, and the same guy in our league has drafted him number one overall the last 2 years, and is obviously, as one would, has become very frustrated with the injuries. And so here was my thought. Who is the only guy really in the league that is that might possibly be available to replace the production of Derrick Henry? And I went to Christian McCaffrey, because he hasn't really done anything this year. So here's a flyer. This guy needs a quarterback. Offer him a quarterback. Offer him another really nice running back in Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's coming off IR this week, and see if he can't wriggle Christian McCaffrey away. And it worked. It'll only work if Christian McCaffrey actually gets to play, because he still has the IR designation by his name.
It's kind of a flip of a coin on that one.
Well, here's my deal, though. Even if it doesn't work, I was screwed anyway, because Derrick Henry got hurt. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So why not try the Hail Mary?
Yeah.
I'm afraid I may have jumped the gun by acquiring my man, Adrian Peterson. That may have been a little bit of a... I'm afraid the guy I dropped to acquire him is going to be more valuable later down the line, but whatever. So anyway, that was my Hail Mary. So now Christian McCaffrey's sitting there on my IR instead of Possum's. Just hoping that he can play at some point in life. And if he doesn't, then I got to figure out a way for D'Ernest Johnson or Adrian or Mark Ingram to score some points to try to fill the massive void left by Derrick Henry. It's one of the worst things about fantasy football. My team was coming into its own, just flying. Now, currently, if you look at the projected finishing standings, I went from 12 on draft day to number one now. And then Derrick Henry gets hurt, and that all goes down the drain.
Boom.
Yeah. Anyhow, enough of my fantasy team. How about yours?
Oh, no, we don't have time to talk about my disdain for my team. We got 10 minutes. We need 11.
All right.
It's horrible, man. It's horrible.
What about...
I'm open for trades. I'll just put it that way.
College football playoff rankings.
I did win last week, but now the bye weeks are mounting
starting
up
to mount up.
So I'm going to have to make some moves.
We've got the college football playoff rankings. First edition was made, was revealed last night. I had these on the sports report, kind of some histories of different things last night. So let's see. Last year was the only year the initial first four was the playoff. But over the past 5 years, and there's only been seven, so this is a majority of the time, three of the four first four have made it on average. So that's a pretty good clip. The rankings last night, what is Georgia, Bama, Michigan State, Oregon were the top four, Ohio State fifth, Cincinnati sixth, Michigan seventh, Oklahoma eighth, Wake Forest ninth, Notre Dame 10th, you had OSU 11, Baylor 12. That rounds out kind of the Big 12 portion of it. It sure seemed like the committee, just looking all the way to 25 down, they did value head-to-head matchups because it felt like every team that has kind of just played, or Oregon, Ohio State, who played earlier in the season, the team that won that game, regardless of record, was just ahead of the team that lost that game, i.e., Wisconsin was one ahead of Iowa. Mississippi State was one ahead of Kentucky. There was one more that was up there in that kind of same vein. OSU-Baylor. OSU was one ahead of Baylor because they beat them head-to-head. And then, of course, Ohio State was one behind Oregon because the Ducks won that game. That was one thing that kind of stuck out at me. And then also, quite frankly, playing close games and winning didn't matter as much as losing a game.
Yeah, that's what stood out to me. I mean, quite obviously. And then your name, I think, carries a lot of weight in what conference you play in, Alabama. Saw a great tweet last night, said, why is OU so upset? Once you get to the SEC, you can afford to lose a game and be number two.
I think the Big Ten, the Big Ten carried just as much weight in these rankings as the SEC did.
Oh, sure.
That was the one thing that is
Michigan right there at seven.
Well, immediately from the get-go, you know, was SMU going to be there? Was Houston going to be there to try to bolster Cincinnati's, you know, down the stretch chances with the ranked team in SMU or even Houston in the conference championship game? And all of a sudden you see Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa. And from that moment you went, Michigan State's in the top four, is Ohio State.
Yeah.
Right. And, yeah. And of course, then you see Mississippi State 5-3, bam, number 17. You know, that may be some of that, you know, the SEC stuff happening. You know, it is what it is. It's always going to be, you know, those, it's not paid attention to enough, I guess, is my point. Where the bottom of these rankings can pull a top team up because no one really cares who's 22, but when it's Iowa and you beat them, then you get that bolster of, hey, it's a quality win because they were in the top 25.
It's true.
And then that's clearly what happens for all those SEC teams in that, you know, 12 to 20 range. There's like five of them But it just adds to it, and that's the, you know, probably the beauty of what you're talking about. When you look at these rankings, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, half, over half, are from one of those two conferences.
Right. So, I mean, they looking at this, like, you know, look at the one-loss teams in the top 10, four of them, Michigan, Ohio State, Oregon, and Alabama. Alabama losing to A&M, A&M who's 6-2. Let's say Auburn beats A&M and just beats them to a pulp. Does that hurt Alabama at 2?
No.
Do you see what I'm saying, though? Well, quality of loss.
It would hurt everybody else, but it's not going to hurt them. I mean, look, I'm dead serious about this.
Let's say Team A, Team B,
They do it all the time, but it doesn't matter because you can't say that with Alabama. They're different than everybody else. How many? I'm dead serious about this. How many losses would it take Alabama to have for somebody on that panel not to say, well, they've got X losses, but they're still one of the best four teams? I mean, just watch them. How many losses would have to occur for that statement not to be made on that show last night?
3.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I'm convinced by that.
I think it's 4. I don't think you're enough. I think it's 4.
I think they can get to the SEC championship, lose, and they're still in that 4 conversation.
Oh, 100% with 2 losses.
Yeah.
100%.
And what's scary is someone like a Wake Forest or even an OU at 8 right now. They're like, well, listen, OU, they're undefeated. They won the Big 12. But, man, they won all of their last 4 games in the month of November and by 3 points each. I mean, then eye test it matters, apparently.
I know people are upset that Oklahoma's 8. Here's the truth. It doesn't matter. If Oklahoma wins out, they're in. There is no chance in the world an undefeated 13-0 Oklahoma is left out of this thing. So stop it.
Yeah, the path is clear.
Stop it. Now, here's the problem.
The path is clear.
Here's the problem for OU starting 8th. Are they essentially eliminated with a loss?
Yes.
I think it depends on what happens. It would be it would sure help if, say, let's just say for saying's sake, that A&M beats Auburn and then Auburn beats Alabama. That would be a dream scenario for a one-loss OU. Because 2-loss A&M ain't getting it. Sorry, they lost to Arkansas. You know what I'm saying? That ain't happening.
Auburn.
No. A&M beat Auburn.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were saying Alabama losing to Auburn.
Yeah. But A&M beat Auburn because A&M, listen, if Alabama loses again and A&M or Auburn don't lose, Alabama's not even playing for the conference title.
Right, I see what you're saying, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. That knocks them out of the title.
I thought you misquoted when you said Alabama losing to Arkansas.
No. A&M lost to Arkansas.
Right.
I'm talking about A&M beat Auburn and then Auburn beat Alabama. Then everybody's got 2 losses at least in the West. A&M goes to play Georgia.
Yeah.
That makes it a 1, because even if A&M wins that, they ain't getting in.
Right.
So that would help OU. Obviously, Oregon losing again would help OU. Big Ten East teams is going to get in. There's almost not a way for that not to happen. Unless, I guess the one way would be if, say, Ohio State beat Michigan State, and then Michigan beat Ohio State, and one of them lost, and then whoever's there loses to Wisconsin or somebody. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that's a way, but you might as well put Georgia in. You might as well put a Big Ten team in. Then it gets down to what happens. But if you're an OU fan and you're out there throwing your TV around, I mean, listen, I think it's ridiculous that they're 8th. Because winning games ought to matter.
I think that matters. When you being actually, the only 9-0 team.
The only 9-0 team.
That matters. I don't care how they did it, but the committee obviously did. Eye test is something. You play like poo, you're going to get ranked like poo.
But it's just.
They're telling OU.
Listen, they don't even believe it.
Very clear.
They don't even believe it. When you look at the betting markets today, you know who's the second favorite to make the playoff?
Oklahoma.
Nobody believes this. It's all for show. It's all for TV. And yep. It's all to build drama to get eyes on that TV, to get eyes on those release of the rankings every Tuesday.
I think it's some of it is Oklahoma, and they have a bye week this week. Now, you know, conspiracy theory. There are a lot of TVs weren't going to be turned on other than the OSU-West Virginia game. Well, now they're going to be watching Michigan State and Purdue. You know, they're going to be watching all these other games. You know, some of this that. And by the way, Joey Galloway, yeah, he said OU needs to be on upset alert this weekend. That bye week's going to come up and get him.
Guys, he's an idiot. He really is
an
idiot.
Yeah, he does not do his homework. No, and I said this, I think, way before this even came out, maybe back when they were 7-0, 8-0, Oklahoma, when someone asked me, can they survive a loss, still get in? I was like, well, you know, they would have those early season losses and then able to overcome that to get into the playoffs and playoffs past. And that's why I hold when I say, now we're here, we are in November. It's hard for me to see them get in if they have a loss. That's just me, because it's going to be so recent, and it's going to be so, you know what I mean?
Sure.
That's why I have pause. Now I think for them to get in, they have to run the table.
It looks like that starting in eighth, but I don't believe that the committee ranked these teams in
how they think they truly.
What I'm saying is, if this was the one that decided who was in the playoff, Oklahoma would be in the top four.
Sure.
And not number eight. If this was the last one and not the first, yeah, Oklahoma would be in the top four.
It'd resemble more like the AP poll. And not
yes. This is all just for show to build suspense. Now, the one thing that I think that's true for Oklahoma. I don't know if it's true for Cincinnati.
Yeah, they're in trouble.
Cincinnati at six is in a bad way, because I don't know if first off, the schedules are so much different. Oklahoma's got at 11, at 12, still on their schedule,
mm-hmm,
plus playing probably one of those two again in the Big 12 title game.
Right.
So the boost happens at the back end of Oklahoma's schedule. Oklahoma State and Baylor, for that matter, too. You know, OSU's got that game against West Virginia. It's funny how some of those, like, on the cusp teams in the Big 12 are never ranked at the bottom of these rankings. Iowa State. I mean, what has Mississippi State done that Iowa State hasn't? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I mean, what have
yeah,
they done
yeah.
that Iowa State hasn't? What has Minnesota done that Iowa State or Wisconsin, whatever? I mean, it's such – but that's just the way you can see what's happening here. The setup is there to justify Ohio State over Oregon and Alabama as the second SEC team. And so even after these rankings come out, in my mind, the most likely top four at the end of this is Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, and Oklahoma.
Yeah, if things shake out, they win their games.
That's the most likely scenario.
Yes.
And you're going to end up having Oklahoma.
Now, is this based on Alabama with two losses?
No. No, Alabama has to beat Georgia.
And I think they will.
They have to beat Georgia.
I think they will.
I don't know if they will or not, but they would have to. But if they do,
Georgia has enough offense.
If they do, then Bama, it'll be Bama, Ohio State in the Orange Bowl, and OU and Georgia in the Cotton Bowl.
Yep.
So simmer down, OU fans.
I'd take that matchup.
It's all for show.
Yeah.
It's all for show. Nobody believes. Nobody in that room really
believes. But when OU flashed up there, I felt like I got punched in the gut. No, I go, matter. What?
You knew it was coming because Joey Galloway.
I had to sit down and process.
Joey Galloway even said it when OSU was 11, Baylor 12. He goes, that's why it won't matter where OU is tonight. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.